song, a book, and a dish.
On 702.
Quarter to six on 702 Drive. We do this every week. We spend some time talking to somebody who is either well known to you or they've done something that has made news. We get them to pick a song to talk a little bit about food. Of course, we're interested in the dish, but we are just as interested in the sharing of the food and who's around the table. And books are always important, both the book that they choose and their relationship to the written word as well. My guest today was involved in a quite remarkable piece of surgery carried out at the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital last month. It's never been done in South Africa before, and it involved the reconstruction of an ear for a young teenager from KwaZulu-Natal who was born without an ear. To talk about this and to talk about that song, that book, and the dish as well, we're joined by Dr. Duane Mole, who led the surgery at the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital, also co-founder of the Ear and Eye Clinic. Duane, welcome. It's great to have you with us in the studio. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
What made you want to focus on this particular area of medicine? We'll go back in time, of course, to look at what got you into medicine in the first place, but there are so many paths that lead out of medical school. You picked this one. Tell us why.
I fell in love with the operating microscope. I was just working as a trauma doctor, and they needed somebody to help out at the ear clinic, which was really removing wax. And I just fell in love with that microscope, and then just decided I'd pursue that rather, and then applied. And yeah, it's quite difficult to get in, but eventually got a post and then was able to specialize in ears.
And I mean, once you specialize, is that kind of, that's the road you're on? Or did you find that it had all sorts of off-ramps that you didn't even know were there?
So initially, obviously, it's ENT, so it's ear, nose, and throat. And we do head and neck cancers, we do throat, we do tonsils, we do all sorts of things. But I just sort of fell in love with the delicate work of the ear. And it's also very rewarding. The nice thing about it is somebody else measures your work. So the audiologist tests, you know, can the person hear after the surgery? So you can't fake anything. So it was nice that somebody else can, you know, check up on you.
I'm intrigued to know, the night before you're about to do this major surgery, it's groundbreaking, hasn't been done in South Africa before. I mean, are there big night nerves? did you sleep?
No, I had to take a sleeping tablet. No, definitely. So John, I think the difficult thing with that is that, yes, we've done many ear surgeries before, but this was a little bit more complex because this falls more under the realm of the plastic surgeon.
Right.
So, but we don't really have enough experience in South Africa that it's fallen in their hands. Fortunately, I've done quite a lot of cartilage reconstructions of the ears. So there is that experience, but this was a total different ballgame for me because I had a little razor flap, a large flap. For those guys that know medicine, that's quite a complicated little thing. It took about a half an hour per centimeter, and we needed to get 14 by 11 centimeters. So it was going to take us quite a while.
Let's go back to young boy growing up in Pretoria. You're at Waterkloof Primary. Is there a point at which you're thinking, I want to be a doctor? Because quite a lot of young people will say, I want to be a doctor, but they don't become doctors because maybe they've no idea what being a doctor actually involves. And fair play, because you're young at that point. Was there a moment or was there a process?
I'm not sure why, but I just sort of decided that's what I wanted to do. And I was considering pediatrics. Mm-hmm. So my game was I was going to be a pediatrician. And that's sort of from primary school already, that was my goal. So I was sort of into that line. So I can't really say what started it out. Maybe it was the fact that both my parents are not doctors.
Yes.
That might have been why I went into it.
Because your older brother Michael became a doctor as well. So there was something happening in the Mole home where nobody's a doctor, but everyone wants to be a doctor. Well, I don't know about your sister.
Just one for Mike, though. I was doctor my whole life, but I was a year behind him.
Yes.
And so in his, like, matric year, he decides, no, he's going to actually study medicine. I was so miffed.
Yes,
because now he gets to do it before I do. So anyway, he's a great doctor and we know him.
And were you doing things that, even at a young age, that said, okay, this is me on my way to be a doctor? I mean, did you choose subjects? Were you particularly serious about areas of learning?
So it's interesting. I think in high school, the only thing that the guys really wanted you to take was Latin, just so you could understand the words. And we didn't even have Latin in the school that my high school. But I think biology was always fascinating for me. Mm. But I think the learning really came when you started medicine, because there wasn't really anything at a school level. Look, I was always, blood didn't scare me. I was happy to help around. I joined the ambulance service as a volunteer. Yes. So that's maybe something that I did while I was still learning. So that's maybe the only thing I could say that really a little bit closer to medicine.
What's happening around the mole dinner table? We'll talk about your choice of dish in a moment, because I don't think that dish is from your early life. But were meals serious time? Everyone's got to be there. Everyone sits down. No phones.
So at this stage, yes. Although at the moment, all my daughters have actually left home.
Okay.
So one's qualified, one's studying medicine, the other one's studying chartered accounting. So they're all on a path. So it's just mom and me at home.
Right. You know? But when you were growing up, was mealtime serious
Absolutely.
Business?
No. Dad would always have us, breakfast on your own, lunch whenever, but supper was as a family.
And what were you learning around the table? Obviously, you're getting fed, and your mom, by all accounts, is a good cook. Your dad is doing interesting stuff. What's the chat, and what are you getting from it?
It's interesting. Dad would often bring up scenarios, and okay. we'd have to sort of, hey, look, this happened at school. What would you do?
Mm-hmm.
So there was that underlying teaching. They sort of felt that it's a concept we call everyday talk,
right.
where they want to make – They don't just want to talk nonsense. They want to actually, as they speak, you're going to learn something. So they were always helping us navigate different situations that had come up at school the day. There was always the jokes. There was what's happening in the week. But there was an underlying tone of teaching, and also a deep spiritual teaching as well from my dad, who really led us as a family in the way of the Lord and the Bible.
I want to go to specifically food. You chose chicken curry with peas, which is making me hungry. You say that your wife makes so well. But before we talk about the dish, I want to ask you this. I mean, before a major operation, you were in the surgery many hours, and presumably you've done it before. Do you eat before you go in? I presume you don't eat. There are no food breaks.
So for the other team, that I let them have food breaks. But I just, you're going to laugh. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the brand name, but I take Prenutro early in the morning, good dose. So it's low GI. Take quite a bowl of Prenutro, and that keeps me the whole day. There's often that I'm in theater where I don't get a chance for lunch, and I sort of get back in the evening at about 6:37, and then I eat supper. And that has sort of sustained me for the whole day. So with that experience, I just decided – it's going to be Prenutro again.
Yeah, it is interesting. I actually was in a Prenutro ad at the age of 13.
Wow.
A print advert, believe it or not. Story for another day. Let's get back to talking about you. The chicken curry that your wife makes. I mean, what is it about?
I don't know if there's a little bit of garlic in it, but it's got a slight sweet tinge.
Okay.
And it just is that comfort food that you sit down and you love. And you're right. It was a thing that only came later in my life, because I was a lasagna fan.
Okay.
And nobody can make lasagna like my mom. She just,
yes.
I don't know if it's because she burns the meat. I don't know how she does it, but it's just amazing. So that was my dish to go to all the years. But I think the chicken curry, it's because all of us enjoyed it at the house. So when mom's made it, everybody's excited to come for supper.
Yeah.
So
sounds good to me. Now, you've chosen two books. One of them is something written by your dad, The Need to Be Right. But we've got a little bit of a sense of him. I want to go to the other one. This book has a great title. It's called Crazy Busy, / A Brackets, Mercifully, Close Brackets, Short Book About A, Open Brackets, Really Big Problem. Okay, forget the punctuation. Let me read the title again. Crazy Busy, A Mercifully Short Book About A Really Big Problem. Kevin DeYoung, why the book?
I'm embarrassed to say I'm not a good reader.
Okay.
So I tend to do a lot of things, but I'm not really great at reading. But this book really just grabbed me, because I am far too busy.
Mm.
And this sort of just took all those points and made them come home and say, Dwayne, why are you doing this? Is it a pride thing that you just want to be busy to show everybody you're busy? What is it? And just the concepts that he brings out in the book just really made me think twice about it. So I'm still busy, but I've tried to make it in a different direction, if you know what I mean. I'm making other things more important in my life, which at that stage before I read the book weren't as important in my life.
So literally a book that made you rethink about the way you live, but rethink the way you actually do live.
I mean, absolutely.
That's quite a measure for a book.
Yeah, for me it was a life changer. And maybe it was because I was so busy and neglecting things that I shouldn't have been neglecting. But just what he brings out in the book, just the different aspects of life, you know, what you can get caught up in and things that you know, won't think this is important. But actually, when you look back down the line, it's not. So that was for me helpful.
So changing priorities, giving you that space, slowing down a little bit, does that mean, you know, if we were to interview your wife in a year's time, she'll say her favorite dish is Dwayne's chicken curry or something equivalent? You know, how are you as a cook?
I'm bad. I enjoy cooking, but I just don't get enough chance to be in the kitchen. She's too good. She doesn't need help. But in defense, I need to be there more to give her that help. So maybe I'm just not there enough.
We're going to come to your music in a moment, but I want to ask you this. A member of my family was going in for surgery, and we were there chatting to the surgeon. I don't know why, but I asked him, do you play music? And if so, who chooses the playlist? And the surgeon came out with a list of some really intense rock music, and I thought, oh man, are they going to saw her leg off? But while you're doing surgery, do you play music, and who chooses?
I actually don't. Okay. You know what? I like to concentrate, and if it's soft background music, it's fine. Yes. But exactly what happens is when you're in the ear, it's quite, you've got to be really, you know, careful. And a beat can sometimes make your hand, you know, beat. So it's actually for me off-putting.
Yeah.
So for my ear surgery, I prefer not to have music.
Yeah, I'm sure your patients are pleased to hear your explanation. Eye of the Tiger by Survivor. You've heard lots of music in your life, but this one you've been involved in playing, not with the band, but playing the song.
Sure. So I used to be a drummer. I don't play much drums anymore, but we used to perform this at our medical talent evenings. It was like the highlight. You know, everybody waited for the group. We were called Members Only, and we played this.
Cheeky.
You know, Eye of the Tiger. But it was also, if I go to karaoke, it's the only one I know the words to. So, and there's a lot of good vibe for it. And like I said, lots of good memories. Difficult to tell you all the memories that I have of the song. So okay. That's probably why I like it.
Well, we are going to end off by playing your song, Dr. Dwayne Moll. Thank you very much. We don't have drums, but I guess the upside is we're not in a theater. We're in a studio. But we appreciate you being here and sharing with us your song, your book, and your dish. Here it is.
Thanks.